This is the Cambridge Marketing Podcast, looking into marketing in the IT sector.
That is the reality of it. You're not buying the latest version of Microsoft Office. You're buying our ability to make that software work for you and know that if it goes wrong, we'll put it right.
Welcome to the Cambridge Marketing Podcast, available on YouTube, Apple and Google Podcasts, and your smart speaker too.
Hello and welcome. This week we are in the world of IT marketing and consultancy. And my guest is Ali Gamble, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer of iLux. Ali, welcome. First of all, I believe congratulations are in order because it's your first day as with a new job title.
It is, yeah, my first official day. So, yeah, my first official day in a new role. So I've taken over the sales team as well as dealing with all the marketing as well. So yeah, a new challenge for the new financial year as well, which is quite exciting. So
excellent. We'll discuss sales and marketing and how they relate in a bit later on. So tell me a little bit about iLux. What does iLux do?
So iLux is an IT support company, but the company is two parts. So we do that, all of the kind of the IT support for lots of different businesses across the UK, actually. And we do that kind of standard help desk thing. So that kind of turn it off and turn it back on again type support that people always kind of look for. But we work really closely with businesses sort of as a consultant as well. So working at looking at their IT infrastructure and how IT can help their business, improve their business, improve processes, deliver more efficiencies, that kind of thing. So it's more than just kind of resetting passwords and fixing printers and things like that. It's much more complicated and looking at the overall structure of the business and their objectives and using IT to help them solve problems, really. That's kind of what we do. And we're a true partnership. So we work with lots of different businesses, including Cambridge Marketing College, to help businesses use IT to achieve their objectives, really. I think a lot of people see IT as a necessary evil, but the way that we work, we try and kind of deliver results, really, by making it easier for you to work or improving your customer service, for example, that kind of thing. So it's not just about kind of delivering hardware, laptops, things like that. It's the way that we work best as a business, as a true partnership, and become sort of, it sounds a bit cliched, but an extension to your business, your IT department, really.
Okay, so when people come to you to purchase your services, do they come along? Do you find most people are expecting you to just be the end of the phone, turn off, turn on again? That's a brilliant description. IT support, or do they come and then you have to explain the consultancy side? How does it work?
It really varies, actually. It's one of the challenges, I guess, of marketing an IT company is that obviously everybody is a potential client. We could kind of work with any kind of business, any size of business, any sector of industry. But actually what we find is that clients quite often will come to us and sort of, we've been referred by another client, or they've seen some of the marketing work that we've done. They've read one of our publications, and they're looking for somebody. They are looking for that genuine partnership. That's where we tend to win work, is somebody who is really looking for a partner rather than just somebody on the end of the phone. And I guess it's about finding those clients, and finding clients that value IT, that see IT as not a necessary evil, as an investment in their business. We have a huge amount of competitors. So quite often our type of businesses are called an MSP. We love an abbreviation in the IT sector. But an MSP is a managed service provider. And there are literally thousands and thousands of businesses like ours. It's completely unregulated. So anybody who knows a bit about a computer can set themselves up as an MSP. We make a very deliberate decision not to call ourselves an MSP because we are so much more than that. But it's about finding those clients that value the extras that we can bring to the table, I guess.
So that's really interesting. So one of my big questions was, who is your target audience? Because yes, I mean, every business, every person, frankly, needs IT consultancy and IT services.
Absolutely.
How, when you're sitting and planning out marketing, how do you divide up your target audiences?
So what I did when I joined the business, I was the first kind of marketing manager. They'd been using agencies in the past, but they'd never had kind of like a full-time dedicated person. And so I looked at our client base, and I looked at, I kind of did quite a bit of analysis of our client base and looked at areas where we really specialised. And I kind of broke our kind of target markets into sectors, because you can't service that, you know, everybody. You can't, you'll just lose the value of your message if you're trying to talk to everybody. And it becomes very scattergun, and you can't, you don't know where to kind of allocate your budget. So our biggest client is a healthcare client. We also work in the education sector. We do a lot with kind of professional services as well. So the legal sector, and my background is actually in the legal sector too. So it kind of made sense that we sort of looked at that, as a potential sector. And then the tech sector, because, you know, we're based in Cambridge and, you know, kind of why wouldn't you sort of. But we work through a lot of technology companies. We've recently also won quite a lot of work in the biotech sector. That's one of my kind of objectives for this year, is to look at the biotech sector and create a marketing plan that targets that sector as well. So
when you came in and you said, I analysed who our clients were, I think that's one of the things you often read about in marketing textbooks, but it's actually really hard to know how to do it. Without asking you to give away any commercial secrets, what did you technically do in order to analyse your market? And did you then have to get rid of clients in certain markets?
What I did was, I looked at our client base and I looked at the revenue spend and I looked at the number of users we were supporting, and I looked at profitability as well. And so I kind of looked at who were our most profitable clients and who were our biggest clients, because, you know, biggest doesn't necessarily mean most profitable, as we all know. And I kind of analysed the data that I'd kind of got available, and realised that actually that's where we can develop USPs, because, as I said, it's such a competitive market. There are probably 50 companies in Cambridge alone that do what we do, but what they don't do is have that specialist knowledge. And so I kind of wanted to almost hyper focus our marketing activity around winning new clients in those sectors, because that's where I knew that I could kind of get results for my marketing budget, really. So looking at, like I said, the profitability, looking at the number of users, and then also looking at the total addressable market in those sectors. So, for example, in the healthcare sector, when I looked at it initially, we work with a private healthcare provider, and so I actually looked at the NHS market and did some analysis on that. And actually, we weren't ready for the public sector at the time. That strategy has since changed in the 2 years that I've been here, and we are starting to look at public sector work now. We're looking at public sector tenders now. We were targeting private healthcare or healthcare suppliers to the healthcare industry, because we have a set of skills as a business that mean that we understand how to talk to NHS computer systems, which is incredibly complex and very very difficult. But it's something that makes us stand out and marks us as different from our competitors, because we've got that knowledge. Same with schools as well. You know, schools focus on things like Google Classroom, bring your own devices, all of those kind of, you know, issues. And it's looking at that sector and understanding actually we've got the knowledge that can help solve some of their problems.
So you really are doing that classic marketing thing of looking at your customers and saying, where are their pain points?
Absolutely.
And how can we deal with them?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, certainly, you know, when I joined as well, I love a spreadsheet, and I created a big spreadsheet of all of the pain points that I knew we were solving for existing clients. I then spoke to quite a few clients. You know, just spent time with them, and you know, hugely grateful to our clients as well, because they do give me their time quite regularly, and all I'm doing really is asking lots of questions. But it helps me kind of understand what problems we're solving for them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had sort of like lots of different messaging. You know, one of the biggest problems that we solve is service. There is a lot of bad service in our mm-hmm. industry, mm-hmm. things like waiting times, people not phoning you back, but also not being proactive as well. So that, you know, that's one of our, again, our USPs is that we have a technical account manager that's assigned to a client. And they have a level of technical understanding that means you can say, look, you know, this isn't working quite right. And we'll go off and kind of find a resolution to that. But it's about managing that those clients expectations as well, and really sort of understanding that, because, you know, when your computer's broken, you want it fixed instantly, and sometimes we can't fix it instantly. We have to, you know, but if we keep you updated and let you know what's going on, then you're happy, because ultimately, okay, you know that something's happening. So yeah, I think that, you know, that's kind of one of those things that is about it's finding your, and finding a USP is difficult. It is difficult because basically we are all doing the same kind of thing.
So that brings me on to my other question about, it's always really hard marketing what is essentially a service. And I always feel with a service, what you're really selling yourself on is trust. Because, yeah, and as you said, in Cambridge Marketing College is a relatively new client of iLux. And one of the things that we needed to do was trust that you could pick up and run and do the turn off and turn onable and do the other things. So how do you, what marketing methods do you use to create that trust?
So I do sort of a number of things, really. We produce quite a lot of resources for clients. So we produce a lot of kind of guides, things particularly around things like cybersecurity. That's always something that a lot of businesses are. It's one of those things that you know that you should be concerned about it, but you're not quite sure. It's a bit like talking about pensions or listening mm-hmm. to directions. You kind of want to put your fingers in your ears and go la 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 la. you know, cybersecurity is a real kind of risk for every business. So we produce a lot of kind of resources in that way, and we give those away free. I don't gate them. They're on the website. Anybody can download them. So that's one of the ways that we do it. Quite a bit of thought leadership as well. So kind of showing our experts, our technical experts, and demonstrating their ability to talk in an accessible way about what they do. So in that way, and I really, our marketing really focuses on our people. I didn't rebrand when I joined the business, but I have adapted the brand slightly. And I've adjusted it so that it's more kind of business focused rather than talking about products or issues, and really kind of pushing out our people, because you're absolutely right, it is based on trust, and you buy our ability to kind of solve your problem, or our intellectual capacity to help you change your business. And so that's how I kind of do it. I really kind of push our people. And I'm about to sort of start a series of kind of like interviews and things with some of our technical people as well, our industry really complicates things, and it is a complicated industry, but it's making it accessible, and you know, you don't care what it is, you just want it to work. And you're not that interested if, you know, if it's the latest version of Windows 11 or if there's been updates or anything like that. You just want it, you want to be able to switch your computer on and do what you want it to do. But our, again, one, our engineers are really good at explaining things. But I guess I've always said one of my superpowers as a marketing expert is that I keep asking why until I understand it. My background is in the legal profession as well, so I am very used to taking quite complex issues and making them accessible, making them easy to understand. And it is just because I go, what, why? I'd tell me again, make it simpler and kind of dumb it down to the point where I know if I understand it, then you as a business owner will understand it, because you're not interested in the kind of the complexities of it. And so that's what, how our kind of brand has really refocused in making it much more business issue, not necessarily talking about, you know, the latest developments in IT, which, you know, our industry would get very interested in, but actually as a business owner, you're not that interested in it.
Not usually. It has to also be said, you said you didn't rebrand iLux, but iLux is pink. That is the thing that stands out most about the iLux branding. It's not what you expect in your industry.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very deliberate. I kind of inherited the pink. When I first joined the business, we were all pink. It was quite shouty and quite loud, and I have kind of toned it down a little bit, and I use the pink as a way of differentiating us again. You know, it's one of those industries, when I was looking at the rebrand, there's a huge amount of navy blue in our sector. Quite a lot of what I call NHS blue as well, that kind of pay NHS kind of color. Pink definitely helps us stand out. You know, it's you know, we've got big pink signs on the side of the building, and if you know particularly, we're based in St Ives, and if you speak to people in St Ives, they will say, oh, is that the building next to Aldi, which is where we're located. But they know the name because it lights up at night and it's bright pink. So it was a deliberate decision not to go down that kind of safe blue kind of route.
Yeah. So what sort of methods do you use? You've talked about concentrating on talking about your people, you've talked about how you select your target audiences, but what actual marketing sort of instruments, what communications do you actually do?
So we use a variety of different tactics, to be honest with you. We use a lot of email. Email kind of works for us. We use a lot of social media, although very targeted social media. I really focus on LinkedIn. Twitter / X, whatever it's called now, doesn't really produce results for us, but LinkedIn really does. We get quite a lot of engagement on LinkedIn. And I use social media. I rely on our staff to post on LinkedIn much more than the iLux account. The LinkedIn algorithm has changed quite a lot kind of post-COVID. I think they made a lot of money in COVID, and quite rightly so, because it was the only platform that we could kind of use to talk to people. But the algorithm has definitely changed now, and it's much more focused on personal brand than company brands. And so I use particularly my sales team and my management team to push out information. I've even kind of started trialing doing, you know, where they do their own posts and it doesn't link back to our website, and we get better engagement with that, because obviously you can test things like that. So we use social media. I do use a little bit of Facebook, but I use that mainly for recruitment and kind of social. So, you know, if we have a team night out or something like that, because I find that a lot of employees will look at your Facebook profile as well as your LinkedIn profile, and they see us having a nice time and, you know, doing stuff for charity and that kind of thing. So we do that. Obviously, I use PR. I do quite a bit of PR. It's difficult with PR because we don't do anything earth shattering. Sometimes it is, you know, iLux did its job and got paid for it kind of PR. I'm always really conscious of putting out, I want to put out a proper story that, that the media will actually pick up rather than kind of doing me a favour sort of thing. We do work with a couple of local publications as well. So we do some advertising, targeted advertising in business publications. So we do that, and we find that's quite effective. A lot of kind of referral work as well. So talking to existing clients and saying to them, who else should we be working with? Mm-hmm. We find that actually that is one of our most effective kind of lead sources. And obviously I do quite a lot of work on the website. So I say I do it. I work with an agency that does it because, you know, SEO is a dark art that mm-hmm. I have never been able to master. We do a lot of work on kind of inbound leads. And making sure that our SEO on our website is as good as it can be. Mm-hmm. I'm always putting new blogs up and things like that to help with the Google ratings. Mm-hmm. And we do a bit of PPC as well. So we do some targeted, again, we're such a competitive sector. If you try and bid on something like IT Support Cambridge, the cost is more expensive than I've ever experienced before.
Really?
So I've paid up to £30 a click.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Ouch.
So
yes.
So we actually, when I do PPC, I focus on niche search terms. And I found that they work. So IT consultancy brought us in a new client recently, a big travel company. And so I know that that kind of works, if you like. Mm-hmm. It's quite a fine line. So, but lots of different, you know, the full marketing mix, really. I use lots of different tactics.
And what's so interesting is that it's a lot of tactics that people recognise from business to consumer, but you're very much in a business to business marketplace. So it's similar tactics,
yeah.
But much more targeted, much more aimed at the individuals.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that business to business is a different skill. It definitely is a skill. I would say that my skills probably wouldn't transfer over into the consumer market, but ultimately we are all selling to people. You know, it is a decision. Mm-hmm. Switching your IT supplier is a big decision, and actually it's quite an emotive decision. It's something that sort of quite surprised me as I kind of went on a journey with some new clients. Because you are, like you said, you are putting a huge amount of trust in us to make your business carry on working. It's a scary thing, you know, that day that we kind of take over control of your IT is quite nerve-wracking for a business owner, and you're nodding in agreement.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. And it is one of those business decisions, and this is one of the things I always think about so interesting in B2B, is if you are the person that's pushed it through, it's your reputation,
absolutely.
Your career
on
the line.
Yeah.
So you are putting your reputation as an individual within the company that said, let's go to this new firm,
absolutely.
On the line and into a new firm's hands.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right, that trust, that reassurance, and it is emotive because there is that middle of the night moment about, am I still going to have a business tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like I said, you know, our sector isn't regulated at all.
Yeah.
You could choose a business that says they know what they're doing and they don't. There are kind of, you know, people that sit in their bedroom and fix computers, you know, they call themselves an MSP as well. And that's why I didn't, you know, we kind of took that decision. We're an IT consultancy business. You know, I mean, one of the things that I introduced was the iLux switch guarantee. And I was totally inspired by the energy suppliers and utility suppliers. But I looked at how, you know, it was kind of kind of sitting and thinking, putting yourself in the shoes of your target audience, you know, mm-hmm. that's as a marketeer, that's what you need to do. You need to speak their language and understand, you know, so I sit thinking, okay, I own my own business. I know I'm not getting what I want. I find a new company to work with. And absolutely, as you say, it is your reputation on the line. Because if it goes wrong, then mm-hmm. it's you that chose that business.
Yeah.
And the switch guarantee is about kind of helping clients understand that we will do everything in the background, everything in our power. We'll speak to your existing supplier, you know, or we'll speak to your third party suppliers to make sure that everything is okay, and that we've got you. That's, you know, that's what we're trying to do. And that's quite an emotive message when you think mm-hmm. about the fact that I'm the marketing manager for an IT company. It's that, you know, we'll help you sleep at night, we'll make mm-hmm. things better, we've got yeah. you. All of those, that's quite an emotional buy. But that is the reality of it. You're not buying, you know, the latest version of Microsoft Office. You're buying our ability to make that software work for you and know that if it goes wrong, we'll put it right.
Yes. And I think it's really important in B2B for people to understand that emotions are involved. It's very
Absolutely.
Easy. We often get students will say, well, B2B, that it's an emotionless, it's always logical. But actually it isn't. There's still
it's
that element
all.
Of trust
no.
and reputation
yeah.
and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. And I'm sort of conscious of time. So let's, can we just talk briefly about the sales aspect? So you see, you've just taken over as of
yes.
today. You've got this now, you're now Chief Sales and Marketing Officer. So yeah. how are you going to integrate the sales in the marketing, or how do you see the two working together? Because I think this is an area that marketers often struggle with.
Yeah, they're two very different disciplines. So being a sales manager is very different to being a marketing manager, for example. They're completely different things. However, in a small, we're a small business. We're kind of just over 30 people. When I joined as marketing manager, I worked really, really closely with the sales team, because actually I've always done that. As I said, my background is in the legal sector. And although we didn't have salespeople, we had kind of partners, and business development was very important. And they are kind of your window on your kind of personas. So I've always made sure that the sales and marketing teams that I've worked in mesh rather than kind of butt up against each other, because that can happen, mm-hmm. You know, quite regularly. And I have seen that happen in previous roles. But my primary function is to bring leads in for the business. That's always been my kind of my establishing the brand, and then making sure that brand was lead generating was always my kind of key objective. And so working with the sales team, understanding what kind of questions they're being asked, what do they need, what are clients asking for. I've always seen myself as having a foot in both camps, because the whole purpose of marketing is to make sales easier. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the marketing, there's lots of kind of memes about it and things like that, but marketing is making the client say yes once they're ready to buy. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. So once yes. the salesperson's in front of them, there's the confidence already that, you know, we know what we're talking about and we're mm-hmm. a trusted brand.
Mm-hmm.
So taking over the sales team means that I will work much more closely with the sales team and be able to kind of guide them, but also looking at our existing clients as well. So part of kind of a marketing role, I think, is about protecting your existing business. Because all the time that you're kind of inviting them through the front door, if you've got the back door open, they'll just walk straight through.
Yeah.
And so one of my kind of objectives in my new role is making sure that our existing clients are being serviced correctly. So I'll be doing things like annual client service reviews and just kind of having conversations with clients about their business objectives. At a kind of a higher level, really, because that helps us as a business understand their business better, obviously, potentially it creates opportunities for us as well to kind of, you know, upsell and cross-sell. But also we pride ourselves on the fact that we want to help you achieve your objectives. But if we don't know what those objectives are, then we can't help you. And it is about kind of really... I've talked quite a lot about our sales team about making us sticky. I want lots of relationships with our clients, lots of different people with relationships with our clients. So it's much harder for them to go somewhere else because they've got so many different kind of allies within our business that they, you know, that we give them a kind of an assigned infrastructure engineer, for example. You've got the lovely Ferry.
Yes.
Ferry knows your business inside out. He'll know your IT systems better than you do. Mm-hmm. And absolutely he should, because you don't want to be focusing on that. But that's kind of part of that kind of new role is looking at our existing clients as well as focusing on new business too.
Ali Gamble, as of today, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer at ILUX. Thank you for that. I think you've made some really interesting points about having understanding your customers' pain points, about realising that you've got to retain customers, and understanding the emotional side of B2B. And I love the idea of having lots of allies in ILUX within your client company. That's a really interesting way of keeping clients on board. So thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you. It's been great fun. Thank you.
This is the Cambridge Marketing Podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to this channel for regular podcasts from Cambridge Marketing College.